Mark chapter number 5.
I want us to look at this same passage tonight and want to focus our attention on the difference between being a part of those that were thronging Jesus. And the word thronging was mentioned twice, verse 24 and also verse number 31. But also in the same text, the word touched or touch is mentioned four times. And we want to look at that. I was reading this in my devotions as was coming through Mark's gospel, and it caught my attention and began to speak to my heart. And I believe that thronging crowd has a lot of similarities to the church crowd of our day. A lot of similarities. And so I want us just to begin reading, and we'll just, instead of reading the portion that deals with Jairus and his daughter, and we're just going to focus in on this lady. Verse 24, we'll start reading. And Jesus went with them, and much people followed him. Notice this, there's our first time of the word throng, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and that word issue identifies a hemorrhage, physical hemorrhage. And the Bible says in the book of Leviticus, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the very source of her life was going out of her. Okay, that this was a serious matter. It was a matter that was probably at some point going to take her life. And so the Bible says in verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, note, I got it underlined, knowing what was done in her. If God has done something in you, there will be an awareness of it. You will know God has done it. Knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Here in Devin's testimony, go in peace. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You can be seated. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'll help us, that we'd say what you want said and deal with this as you want us to deal with it. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. Challenge us with it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The word, I want to just kindly tell you the difference between thronging and touching, or where it said they touched. The word throng there, verse 24 and also verse 31, the word thronging simply means to compress or to crowd or press on all sides. There was people all around Jesus, not just all around him, but they were close enough, some of them, that he was just kindly being bumped around with the crowd. And I believe that's why when he said, who touched me, that the disciples responded by saying, what do you mean, who touched you? Look at this multitude of crowd that's thronging thee, pressing in on all sides. Amen. They're touching you. They're all touching you. A lot of them are touching you. But he said, no, there's a distinction between thronging and touching. And so the word touching in our text that is used four times, verse 27, 28, 30, and 31. Listen to the definition of this. Means to attach or fasten oneself to. That thronging crowd was just pressing in on all sides, but here's one lady, an individual, that attached herself, fastened herself to the Lord. She said, if I may but just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. And she had a lot of confidence, amen? The disciples made thronging and touching to be the same thing. When Jesus said, somebody touch me, and they referred to all of those that had thronged him or was pressing around him on all sides as if to say they're doing that, made it one and the same. But Jesus made a distinction. It's not he or said it this way, but he was sort of paraphrased. He said, no. Can't see Jesus doing that. No. I'm not talking about those that's accidentally touching me. I'm talking about somebody touched me on purpose. Amen. And so the difference was made and distinction was given through that very statement. And I want to just run through this. I've got a lot to give you tonight if the Lord will help me with it. And I just want to go some contrast. I want to show you some contrast between thronging of the crowd and touching by the individual. First thing is that simply thronging is a crowd thing. Most people that come to church, that's the classification they fit into, is that it's just what the crowd. We're just one of the number. It's a crowd thing. Throngers are just content with blending in, with bumping into other thronging people. Nothing ever gets personal. Content with just doing what everybody else is doing. Generally, if you find thronging crowd, it is the biggest crowd. It is the biggest crowd. It's the biggest crowd because they're not really wanting anything personal. They're only just among the crowd that's thronging Jesus. It's a public thing. It's a crowd thing. But touching, as revealed in this passage, touching Jesus is a personal thing. Amen. No one else was doing what she was doing. And she didn't let that stop her. How many times has that stopped people? When they said, well, nobody else is shouting, nobody else is testifying, nobody else is going to the altar, nobody else is getting help. Why? I'm not going to be the only one in the service to testify. I'm not going to be the only one. No one else was touching Jesus like she was because nobody else had the need that she had. Touching Jesus is a personal thing. I wrote this down. This lady wasn't crowd conscious. She was conditioned. Conscious. She was more concerned about what was going on in her life and what she needed than what was going on with the crowd. Would that not help us? Would that not help our church services? If we come in here with that mentality, I'm more consciously aware of what I need, what's going on in my life, what I'm lacking in my life, rather than come in and we're crowd conscious, wondering where they're at, where this one's at, what's going on with him, what's going on with her. Don't you think that would help us? Without a doubt. I'm not going to be able to spend as much time on these. If I do, I won't get done. The second contrast that I note is that thronging people only contact Jesus. They can only say we're going in the same general direction, and they're content with only making contact with Jesus. And there's a difference of making contact with Jesus and making a connection with Jesus. The lady that touched Jesus, she made a connection with Jesus because Jesus said, "Who touched me?" If he was talking about the crowd, he would have said, who was thronging me? Who was pressing in and bumping up against me and pushing and shoving? No, he never asked who did that because that's meaningless. That's another contrast in a minute. But he wanted to know who touched me, who made the connection. Thirdly, a third contrast. Thronging people
are also touching Jesus, but it is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything to them, and it doesn't mean anything to him. Amen. I wonder how many times we come to church and we go through a whole service and nothing we did meant anything to us. And if it didn't mean nothing to us, I promise you that it didn't mean anything to him. If it don't make her excited in our text, it surely is not going to make him excited. She touched him, and he got so he stopped. He stopped his forward motion and turned around and said, he turned around to see her who had touched him. So I just simply wanted to say in that right there, that thronging people, or what they're doing and what the touching they're doing to Jesus, or the conduct they're having, is meaningless. But what she did was meaningful to her and to the Lord. Amen. Don't you think it would help us if we come to church and do those things which would be most meaningful? Amen. Number four. I'm going to just run through these. I've got several. Four. The fourth number contrast. Four. The thronging people, and this is simply to note, is unintentional. It is unintentional. Or if you could say, even accidental. The thronging crowd that was pressing in was unintentional. They might have even said, oh, I'm sorry. Oops, I didn't mean to. Your worship of the Lord will never be accidental. Doing what you need and what Jesus deserves will be intentional. That's the touching. She touched because she intended to touch. They touched, the thronging crowd touched, because it was an accident. Amen. Number five, fifth contrast, thronging spirituality never gets the attention of Jesus, because all they are wanting is the attention. But those who are touching or have the touching spirituality gives attention to Jesus, resulting in getting attention from Jesus. So there's a difference. I'm simply just pointing out there's a difference between just being a part of the crowd and then being that individual that's different. Number six, the sixth contrast, thronging receives nothing from that touch. Nothing for them, nothing for the Lord, and nothing for the people. Thronging helps no one. How many times we come to church and leave, and everything that was done in the service did not help me, us, you personally, make it personal, did not help you. You left the same as you come, or maybe even worse. It did not help the Lord. He didn't get nothing out of it. And it didn't help none of the people that was around. So the thronging crowd receives nothing from it, for the Lord or for the people. Thronging usually happens where people are pushing and shoving, trying to get a better, closer, selfish position. I was here first. I'm closer than you. And they got their eyes on each other and they're competing for spots and positions. You'll never get any help doing that. Amen? Here's number seven. Number seven, thronging usually serves as a hindrance to needy people seeing and approaching the Savior. It made it very clear that this crowd was a hindrance at first. When she came in behind the press, the Bible said, the press, evidently Jesus was in the middle of the crowd, and crowds a lot of times are a hindrance to people that need the Lord to get to the Lord. And so the thronging crowd usually serves as a hindrance to needy people seeing and approaching the Savior. Touchers, I like this. This touching crowd, or the touching individual, there's not much of a crowd of those that are in that class. It's usually single individual people.
The touching lady in this passage refused to let the thronging crowd hinder her. Amen? Touchers, those that are touching the Lord, wanting to touch the Lord on purpose, will just go around those that are a part of the thronging crowd. If you're not interested in touching the Lord, excuse me, you're in my way. If you're not interested in touching the Lord and getting something from the Lord and getting some help from the Lord, you're in my way. And if they don't move, go around them. I love you, but if you're in the way of me getting help from the Lord, what my decision ought to be is to go around you. But how many people stops right there? They see the hindrance, they see the crowd that's not interested in getting anything from the Lord, and instead of going around them, they stop right there, and they get their eyes on them, and they give up and say, well, I might as well go to the house. This lady, the evidence here, the indication here of the text, is that this lady pressed through the press to get to Jesus. Well, amen. The toucher and the individual lady that touched Jesus refused to let the thronging crowd hinder her. Amen. I like this. That touching individual that touches the Savior realizes their greatest hindrance is their condition more so than the crowd. The greatest need is to have their condition addressed versus to have the crowd's compliments. When she was pressing through the crowds to touch the Lord, she was focused on what her problem was. That's usually a good a difference between thronging crowds and touching people. Individuals, what are you aware of? Are you more aware of the people, the crowds? And listen, I know that sounds elementary, but you'd be shocked how many churches are governed by that first principle of the thronging crowd. They come in, they're more they're completely geared on what does the crowd want. Miss Jenny Rochester was asked to sing in a certain place one time, and she's one of our favorites here, but she was called to the behind the platform. It wasn't in a church, it was like in an auditorium or something, and she was called back behind the stage to the one that was kindly over the situation. And this person, Brother Craig, was giving Miss Jenny instructions on how to, quote, play the crowd. That's wicked. Sing, act, whatever's needed to move the emotions of the crowd. That's wicked. And she told him, she said, I have never done that. I'll do what God wants me to do, sing what God wants me to sing, say what God wants me to say, and hopefully he'll use it for his glory. But a lot of churches and a lot of mega churches, a lot of ministries are geared by the crowd. What is it going to take to keep the crowd, draw the crowd, move the crowd? And very few of that thronging crowd ever gets personal with Jesus, ever receives anything personally from the Lord. Amen. Well, I got to move on. Number eight, I guess this is, the thronging crowd wants nothing to change in their life or practice. Not one of that crowd that was thronging Jesus on every side had a desire in them, I want to be changed. I want Jesus Christ to change my life. None of them. But now that one that came in to touch him, she wanted what was old in her life to be over. And she wanted to be a new person, a new creature. She wanted everything to be new. She wanted to be changed. How many people come to church and want to be changed? How many come to church and say, I want to leave different than I came? The majority of the church services we attend, Brother Aaron, we leave the same as we came. Amen. God help us. That's right. Amen. Number nine, thronging people are self-driven. whereas the touching individual in our text is spirit-driven. Her problem was inside, and she wanted what was going wrong on the inside to be fixed. Amen. So we could go on and on. I tell you, there's just so much we could say. But I want to just, for a few minutes here, to focus on what made her different. And that's a big subject. That's more than can be preached in one service. But I want to just give you a few things to think about. I'm not really interested in that thronging crowd. Can I get a witness right there? You know why I'm not interested? Because I don't want to be a part of that. There's nothing about that that impresses me. What impresses me is this individual that took her condition, the responsibility for her condition personally, and when she had heard of Jesus, made a move in his direction personally, touched him personally, received help personally, and so forth. So if you want to write these down, these are six. I wrote down six of them. Actually, I wrote them down sitting on the front pew a while ago while the choir was singing. The first thing that stuck out to me that made her different was her purpose. Boy, there's a lot of preach right there. That thronging crowd, Brother Ben, had no purpose. You don't find it, you read Matthew's account of this, Mark's account of this, and Luke's account of this passage, you will never find anything, any indication that that thronging crowd had a purpose. Why were you there? If you could have interviewed the thronging crowd, Brother Craig, if you could have interviewed them, excuse me, sir, could I ask you a question? Why are you in this crowd? Why are you going in this direction? Why are you compressing and pressing in on Jesus on every side? What is it that you're wanting? And probably a blank look on their face. What is it that you're after? What is your goal? What is your purpose? And they would probably look like most church members do on Sunday morning, come to church with no purpose. You ought to ask yourself on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, why am I here? We don't have to ask her, why are you here? She had a purpose. I'm not a part of the thronging crowd because they have no purpose. They're not interested in getting nothing. They're not interested in giving anything. They're just tickled to death to just kind of be in the general vicinity of where Jesus is. But that individual lady, she had a purpose. And I believe if we come to church and had a purpose, be aware of what your need is. Be aware of what, and even be praying about some things that you'd like to that you desire to happen in the service. How many times you come to church and you don't, listen, I say we, I'm going to put myself in there. How many times we come to church and we don't even pray, God save somebody in this service? There's no halos in here. I know that there's been services that I've been to church and never came across my lips, out of my heart as a prayer, God save somebody in this service. You think that's pleasing? No, surely not. Come to church with a purpose. Lord, help me to be closer to you. Help the preacher to preach to me what I need to hear. Help the singing and the teaching of the Sunday school hour and the singing of the song service to be what I need that will show me God's will and that I will be motivated and inspired to go further with the Lord and deeper and higher with the Lord than ever before. Amen. What is her purpose was different. And we could preach more on that. Number two, and I've already preached some of this, but number two, her perception was different. If you were to ask individually those in the thronging crowd, what is your perception? It's twofold. The first one is, what is your perception of yourself? Secondly, what is your perception of Jesus, the Savior? They would have drew a blank on both of them. She came with a perception. She knew what was wrong with her. I know that keeps coming up, but my goodness, how big is that? That was the biggest thing going in her life. That was the whole thing that was driving her, Brother Aaron, was what was wrong with her. Could you write down anything that's wrong with you tonight? Some of you said, yeah, preach, I could write chapters. How many books you want? How many volumes do you want? Small print? How many agrees with me tonight there's something wrong with all of us? If there's nothing wrong with you, we'll let your wife testify. We'll let your children testify. We'll let your husband take the floor. We'll find out real quick there's a whole lot wrong with you. Her perception. Her purpose made her different. The touch was different. It wasn't just a thronging touch, an accidental thing. But it had some meaning to it. Why? Because her purpose was different. Her perception was different. She had a perception of herself that was different than the crowd. But Brother Aaron, listen to this. She had a perception of the Savior that was different than all the rest of that thronging crowd. That thronging crowd didn't, they knew, oh yeah, there he is. And we know who he is. But that's as far as it went. But her perception was, I don't only know who he is and the direction he's going in, but I know what he can do for me. And oh, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Her perception made her touch different. Thirdly, her perseverance made her touch different. Amen. When she came to the crowd, there was a hindrance. When she came, and the Bible tells us that she came behind. She came in behind. So there was people ahead of her. There was people in front of her. But when she came behind the press and she came in, listen to this. When she came in, there was a hindrance, but she didn't quit. You know why this lady got help? You know why she got the help that she needed? She refused to give up. She refused to quit. When it's hard, just press on with it. What was it Paul said in Philippians? Was it chapter 4, is it? Verse 13? I press. That's chapter 3. I believe that's chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, listen, it's not always going to be easy. There's going to be times that your flesh and your circumstance is going to say, fall down, sit down, lay down, quit, throw in the towel, give up. But you won't get help that way. You get help by saying, no. I'm pressing on. If I have to go around some people, if I have to go under some people, whatever I have to do, I am not stopping till I get to Jesus. I say again, her perseverance made her different. Amen. There's no telling how many people stops just short of the blessing they need. There's no telling how many people bails out right before the blessing. Amen. When Peter, listen, and I don't have time, and it just came to my mind. But when Peter was walking on the water and all that, you know, that whole journey and that storm that took place. Did you know that when you look at the miles that they had traveled across the Sea of Galilee, at the point they left and where the point they were arriving, do you know that this was a reality? That Peter began to sink when he was real close to the home shore. But it was so dark and it was so, the waves was thrashing in and the wind was blowing and all of that was taking place. And Peter sinks. Because the Bible says, in one of the accounts there, when the Bible says and talks about that when Jesus reached out and rescued Peter from sinking, and the Bible said immediately, and they went back to the ship and got in the ship, and the Bible said immediately they were at the shore. How many times people start sinking and they're real close to this thing being over? Real close to going home, real close to the finish line, real close to God's purpose and a trial being fulfilled. It's not going to be easy. I tell Devin, he's a new convert, I tell him right here that it's not always going to be easy. There's going to be times it's going to be tough. There's going to be times that you feel gloriously saved, and there'll be some times that you don't feel so saved. But that don't change the fact. That don't change nothing. Whether I feel saved or not, that don't change nothing. There may be times, Brother Craig, we may not, you know, in our marriages, we may not feel so married. But that doesn't change the document. That doesn't change what's on record. Amen. I may have been at times that I may have not felt so much like a Rackley, but that didn't change nothing, because the courthouse, thank God, there's a birth certificate. There's the record of my birth and who mom and daddy is and so forth. Amen. Perseverance. Her perseverance made it different. Her different. I like this. Number four, her persuasion made it different. She's the one that said, if I may but touch the hem of his, or touch his garment, I will be made whole. What confidence is that? I asked Devin this morning, and I hope you don't mind me using your example, Brother Devin. But I asked Devin this morning right here in the altar, and we talked, I listened, and he's weeping his way to God. There's not much to have to say when somebody's weeping their way to God. But I asked him, I said, Devin, let me ask you a question. Because I don't know what's going on in a person's heart. I can guess at it, but I don't know. I said, Devin, I want to ask you a question. I said, is on the inside of you right now, is there a confidence that if you ask Jesus to save you, he would do it? And his response was yes. That's not always been the case when I've asked that question. I've had people say, oh, I don't know, preacher. I don't know. You know what I was fishing for? You know what I was asking that question to fish for and listen to and hear? I wanted to hear that the Spirit of God had put faith in his heart and confidence in his heart that what God said is so, regardless. And I made sure that he understood before he got up out of that altar that what he did in this altar right here this morning, praise God, was not based on me, but was based on what God's word said, a word that'll never change. But her persuasion made it different. That throng-in crowd, they're not confident of nothing because they don't need nothing. They're not really after nothing. They don't have no purpose, like I said there a moment ago. That throng-in crowd is only interested in an external Jesus. Oh, yes. That thronging crowd, they're not persuaded of nothing because they're only interested in a Jesus that'll give them external help. But whereas this lady was interested in Jesus that would work on the internal and give her the internal help. Amen. Boy, we could get some help, we'd get there, I believe. Anyway, the persuasion. She said, if I may but touch his clothes. Number five, I guess it is. Number five, and we got one more, so y'all, whew. Number five, she's different. Her touching is different from thronging in her posture. And the only passage we have that gives us indication of her posture is Matthew's account of this. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 20. She said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. And the hem is the most bottom part of the garment. The hem is the finished work. The hem is the finished work of that garment. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could touch the finished work of him, if I could get low enough. I believe that's the reason she got through the crowd, the thronging crowd, without them, thronging her, was that she got probably got down because she had a blood problem. And according to Leviticus, she was declared unclean by the law. And so she may have got, nobody wanted her around. Get away from me, don't touch me. She may have, saying that she wanted to touch the hem of his garment, would indicate that she possibly could have got down on her knees and crawled through the crowd until she got to Jesus. It's amazing how many people got help when they got at his feet. She said, but I can touch, if I could just, her posture made her do it. Those thronging crowd, here's the posture of a thronging crowd. Standing tall. Seeing who's the tallest, who's the biggest. And pushing and shoving. But that individual that's wanting to touch Jesus and get some help from the Lord, they're willing to get low. They're not interested in being seen. They're interested in being saved. They're interested in being healed. They're interested in being helped. They're interested in being changed. They're not interested in fitting in with the who's who of the upper stand-up crowd of the thronging bunch. No, we're interested in getting to Jesus. Would that not help us? Please, Lord, help us to get a hold of that, to come to church individually purposing to have the posture. I'm going to get low. I'm going to get low so I can. The Bible said God rejecteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Last, but certainly not least, she was different as a touching individual versus the thronging crowd. She was different in her praise. Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched my clothes?" in verse number 30. And the Bible said in verse 32, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Verse 30, Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. The word virtue means power. Turning him about in the press, he said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the Bible said in verse 33, after the Bible said it, he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Jesus was praised right there in the midst. Was it the thronging crowd praising him? Oh, that's a good point. Was it that thronging crowd praising the Lord? Negative. No. It was that individual that recognized, I have a need that only the Lord can meet. And he has met my need. He satisfied my soul. He saved my soul. He gave me peace, thank God, and joy. And as a result, I want to praise him. I want to praise him. This is sad. The quietest place in town, in most cases, is the church house. You show me if that's scriptural. You say, well, we're supposed to be quiet. Show me that. Please. Show me that in the scripture. We're supposed to be quiet. Nobody's supposed to say a word. We're not supposed to. Show me that. Amen. I'm not talking about the church service becoming a circus and just a big hoorah session. I'm talking about people praising the Lord. Amen. People praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord. How long has it been since you've done that? I can tell you this from experience, and I believe many of you can relate to it. If you ever worship the Lord, you'll know you did. Did anybody have to tell that lady, you touched him? I can't believe it. You touched him. Do you know you touched him? Of course I know I touched him. I was looking in that direction. I was walking in that direction. I was crawling in that direction. I had that on my mind the whole time. I'm not stopping till I touch him. Because when I touch him, by the way, don't forget it, she touched him. We were sitting around on the stool of do nothing, lay down on the pew of the house of God, saying, oh, touch me, Lord, touch me. Well, that may not happen. It may be that you need to touch him. He was going on about his business. That thronging crowd wasn't doing nothing. And she said, I'm going to touch him. If I can just touch him. with that touch of faith, that touch of confidence, that touch of persuasion, that touch that is addressing my need of him, I'll get the help I need. She's different. That last point was she's different in her praise. We're to be different than that thronging church crowd that just goes because it's a thing to do. They don't go with no purpose. They have no plans. They have no desire. If it's a good service, fine. If it's a bad service, fine. If it's dead as 4 o'clock, it don't make no difference. But where's the individuals that say, you know what? I'm going number one with my need in mind. And I'm going to listen for Jesus. I'm going to look for Jesus in every song and every testimony. I'm going to look and perceive for Jesus in everything the preacher says, everything the Sunday school teacher says. I'm looking and I'm listening. And listen, Jesus may not be in everything that's said, even though everything that's said could be right. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen in a service where God would bless just one part of a song, one part of a verse, one part of a... I've preached before, Brother Fultz, and I know you have as well, where part of the message, biggest part of the message, it was information and it was truth, it was Bible, but then you come around through there and then just out of a blue, boom, you make a statement or a statement, and God breathes on that statement. And we ought to come in with our spiritual antennas up to where we're listening for, find out where he's at. See, she had to know where he was at. Amen. Listen, try to identify where he's at and pay attention and say, amen, Lord, and tune into that and make a move in that direction. Well, that's just a simple thought the Lord spoke to my heart about, and we could, Lord, help us. Well, we could add another one. I just saw this. We could add the word permanent. She was different in what was permanent. She was changed permanently. That thronging crowd, they would change with the wind. But she was made different, Brother Ron. She was different from that day forward. May the touching crowd be different than the thronging crowd, in that when Jesus does a work in our life, it is a lasting work. It doesn't fizzle out on Monday morning. It doesn't fizzle out in a week. It doesn't fizzle out in a month. But thank God we just keep pouring gas on the fire, and it'll affect us the rest of our life. And I've said this before, and I'm done. I've said this as far as I know I'm done. But I've said this before, you'll never find where God operates in the realm of the temporary. Does that make sense? Brother Randy, I don't know of a passage anywhere where God focuses on just something temporary. Yeah, I'm just going to put a Band-Aid on your problem. I'm not interested in fixing it. I'm interested, I'll just patch it up. I'll just put a Band-Aid on it, and you'll need something else tomorrow. You'll need something else the next day. No, no. Brother Fultz, God never operates in the realm of the temporary. When God works in your life, Brother Devin, when God worked in your life and has been working in your life for the last few weeks, but he draws you to himself this morning, he's got eternity in mind. He's got the rest of your life in mind. He's already got the rest of your life planned out, Brother Cody. The rest of your life. Amen. Amen. God's got a plan. He's got a course. He's got a purpose. And that thronging crowd, which is the identity of most of your church crowd, that's all there'll ever be. That's all they ever want. And here's what I hope, that my preaching is geared toward, in light of what we're preaching tonight, is to get you, all of us, to get out of that thronging crowd and be satisfied, and not to be satisfied with just being a number on the board and just go and sit on a pew and I'm just one of the crowd and accidentally will bump into Jesus every once in a while. I want to preach that'll challenge you to leave that mentality and find out what was different about this individual lady that got help from the Savior that changed the rest of her life. Because after all, you never heard this, I'm sure, much. Over a few hundred times, possibly. Your spirituality is your responsibility. If you get help from the Lord just like she did, it's because she got responsible for it. She wasn't trying to blame who did it and whose fault was it and all those physicians wasted my time and all that money I wasted. She didn't take about none of that, Brother Ryan. She didn't talk about none of that, blame nobody. She made it her business. It's my responsibility. If I'm going to get help, if I'm going to be changed, I'm going to find out what I need to do, where I need to go. And I'm going to be a toucher and not a thronger. I'm going to be not in that thronging crowd that's pushing and shoving and trying to be one step ahead of the next one. Can't you see that crowd? I guarantee that's what it was. Shoving and thinking that they were gonna be something just because they were just in the general vicinity of Christ and going in the general direction of Christ. That's most church members right there. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I want to thank you for speaking my heart, helping me. I pray, Lord, that your will would be done and help us, Lord, to take this message that you've been speaking to my heart about, and Lord, for a few weeks now. Lord, that we would ask ourselves, Lord, are we content to just be a part of the crowd? At best, it's going to be just thronging you, accidentally touching you at times and pushing and shoving and just a display of unsettled people. But Lord, help us to be like that individual. Lord, I'm glad I don't have to bring a crowd with me to get some help. I'm glad I can be like this individual lady and I can press through and I can get some help from you personally. Lord, there's some people in this service, individuals in this service tonight that they need some help personally. They can't wait on the crowd, the atmosphere, the church, service, the whatever. They need some help personally. And a good place to start, in the search for touching Jesus is right up here in this old-fashioned altar. And I don't know what people needs. I don't know in the service tonight. There may be another one, without a doubt. There's lost people here, people that I know of, that by their own testimonies lost, never been saved. Lord, this might be the night that they would want to make the move and say, you know what? I don't want to just be a part of the crowd. I don't even be a part of the worldly crowd that's not even in that thronging crowd. I want to be one of those that touched Jesus and got what I needed from the Savior. I'm glad you're a personal Savior. You can be crowded around with all kinds of people, but Lord, you've always got your attention focused toward people that's touching you with their needs. Lord, it might be that you want to save somebody else tonight. It might be that you want to work in somebody else's life tonight. And Lord, we know that you'll save those that'll come to you. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, bring conviction upon those that know not the Savior. And we'll try our best to help them in any way we can with the Scripture. We just want you to get the glory.